thank you very much to the Law Centre to give me the opportunity to talk about the work that we do in Women's Aid in relation to supporting the women who have been trafficked into Northern Ireland. I suppose, like the rest of you, I've been really bowled over by the level of knowledge that's in this room, or was in this room this morning, in relation to human trafficking. And as someone who does sit on the engagement group, I can confirm that Julie has could be on Mastermind in relation to the modern-day slavery bill. Although now, with all the statistics and all the pounds and all the dollar signs that we saw this morning, I'd just like you all to remember that behind every statistic there is a person. And I suppose for me here today, I'm here as the voice of some of the women that we support. Now, as Liz just mentioned, it is the graveyard shift. So I can see that some of you already indulged too much at lunchtime and are getting very comfortable. So I would invite you all to stand up, please. Thank you. I would invite you all to lift your right hand, do you remember that one? And put it on your head. And if possible, I would invite you all just to lift your left foot slightly. And I'm really pleased that the photographer is getting a photograph. Okay, I can sit down now. So I have to say, you all look ridiculous. And I will ask you, why did you do that?
You asked us to.
Okay. Were you comfortable with it?
No.
Exactly. Did you have a choice?
Yes. Yeah.
And none of you exercised that choice?
Well, you did.
Never lied. I knew what I was up to. I have to say, I did this up in Stormont recently, but I got all the MLAs to dance. So that was fun. So it is about choice. And we do all have choices. And the women that we have worked with also have choices. And I'll come back to that, because choices is, and their choices that they made, have a big impact on the recovery period. Okay? In the last year, we have supported 29 women within Women's Aid. Women who have came to us through the project that we do with, that we have with the Department of Justice. There may have been other women that we have supported who we believe have been trafficked but didn't go through the NRM. Their countries of origin include China, the African countries, Spain, Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Albania and Romania. Neither is something that's very key around the countries that these women have come from. Usually within the UK Human Trafficking Centre, who deal with those women who are EU citizens, that could happen very quickly. A decision on their NRM, a conclusive decision, will usually happen not long after their 45 days reflection period. I can tell you that we are working with three women who are non-EU citizens. One has been waiting 9 months, and two have been waiting 10 months and are still in the NRM system. And I believe this is a further trauma for these women, because they can't go anywhere. They're in limbo. They can't go on to further education. They can't work. So we really need to do something. I did have a word with Kevin earlier this morning about that, but I think it's an issue that needs to be addressed. The types of exploitation that we work with, obviously, forced labour, sexual exploitation, and to date we have worked with two women who have suffered domestic servitude. Now, there are differences, and I have to say this again, there are differences. I don't mean that one is worse than the other. There are differences in the level of support that we have to give to these women. And I'll go with the forced labour first, the practical support. And I know Liz mentioned that Roger had said there is a big part of this that is an admin task, but is so time consuming. We heard this morning how difficult it is for especially Eastern European citizens, to go through the barriers of our benefit system. That can take weeks and weeks to get an answer. Our immediate needs would be obviously the food, the practical things such as clothing, but most of all a safe place for them to be. And you can see the relief on someone when they're actually that first night's sleep where they're not frightened anymore. But we have to do other things. We have to register them with a GP and a dentist, which in itself doesn't sound much, but I have to say the task of actually addressing a receptionist or a doctor, a surgery manager, and trying to register 6 or 7 people is no mean task. We have to register for employment with recruitment agencies because these people, remember, came over to Northern Ireland for a better life. They came over to get money to probably support children that they have back home and families, and that's what they want to do. We support them with their PS&I interviews, but also we repatriate quite a few of them, which again, you know, is a process. We refer to adult safeguard and children's services. Again, this and what's new to us is some of the women who were trafficked this year were couples and they came with children. So the debate is, and maybe you can have a conversation about it, are those children trafficked? Or are they the children of trafficked parents? I know there's a debate going on at the minute about that. The emotional support for these women are usually to alleviate their anger, because they come over here and they feel robbed. They did the work, someone took their money, and they have been cheated. And that's the level of support we're doing with these women, albeit that we also put them in contact with their families back home and allow them to talk to through our phones, to talk to their children or whoever. And we're on standby for any sort of emergency needs that they have, which can be medical. I will move on to sexual exploitation. Now, it's a given that all the initial needs would be there, the food, the clothes, the safe place. But this is a very different support that we provide. It is extremely long term. Whereas people who have been the forced labour, and they may have their partners or friends or relatives with them, they can usually, there's a form of self-help there. They can go to appointments by themselves, you know, after being shown where to go. With women who have been sexually exploited, it is an extremely slow process. It starts with us just getting to know them. And remember, they probably have been brought to us by the police who they don't trust. They see us as an extension of the police or of some sort of authority. And therefore, it is a very long process for us to befriend them and gain their trust. I'm talking months, literally months. They're very frightened. They won't sleep in the bedrooms on their own at night. They'll come down and sleep in the living area where there are workers about. Again, that would be about 2-3 weeks before they feel safe enough, they feel part of the house, and they don't feel threatened by us as workers or the other women in the house. They would have other issues such as they would have to a lot of medical needs usually. We had 4 women brought to us in the last 2 years who were on the late stages of pregnancy. One of them was 38 weeks pregnant. They had never had any sort of medical assistance. They had never registered with a doctor or a hospital. One of them, unfortunately, had strep B, and that could have been treated in the very early stages of pregnancy, but it wasn't. She had her baby, who was very, very disabled, and died 3 weeks later. So there is a knock-on effect to all of these. All of these women had been exploited for sexual exploitation. And their mental health. We have had such a problem with the issues around mental health for women with sexual exploitation. Thankfully, we have had really good relation with our health board, who have stepped up to the mark. But we've had psychiatrists. In 1 week, we had 5 different psychiatrists out at our refuge supporting these women. So I am just giving you a bit of a flavour of how it is. And it is different, but not worse. I don't mean to say one is worse than the other. The other one, which was domestic servitude, links very well and were probably with the sexual exploitation, the level of support, because these women have been abused, usually the two women who we did support. They both had been physically abused, one of them sexually by the owner of the house, but it was mostly physical abuse there. I have to, and I know I'm going over my time, but just to flag up the services of Women's Aid and that the women do fit into. We do have a 24-hour crisis accommodation, which is because people are rescued at all times of day and night. Women who stay with us and do get positive decisions and leave to remain tend to move very close to where our refuges are. So it would be that we put on outreach accommodation or outreach support and floating support. And I think we have about 7 women who have been rehoused in the community who still keep links with us and come in for whatever reason. Children and young people's group, again, this time we were challenged because some of the women who were trafficked did have children with them. And that's the other work. Volunteer and opportunities, I'm always told to say that, so if anyone would like to volunteer for Women's Aid, do come. I want to finish on a positive note because I know I can depress a room. We had a young woman who came to us and she was, the only way to describe her was a rabbit in the headlights, and she has been with us for 10 months now. For the first 3 months, she hardly spoke and again had to be accompanied by a worker. We had to bring her everywhere. Getting her to speak was very, very difficult. She had spent most of her time in our playroom because she really enjoyed drawing. So I brought you one of her drawings that she did. And this was a drawing that she did, and the type of drawing she did for about the first 4 or 5 months. And what you'll notice is it's in black and white. And all her drawings were in black and white. This was done a couple of months ago, and you can see she has moved on to colour. So I think that in itself tells a story. Thank you.